Hey guys, welcome to Call Me Whenever. I'm Shivani.
And I'm Chinaza.
And yeah, that's our duo.
Okay, girl, I haven't been able to do really that much since, I don't know, everyone gets to a point senior year where it's like you have that one thing you have to accomplish, and then after that you tap TF out. Like for me, it was law school apps. Like after I did that, I was like, I'm done. Like you cannot catch me doing anything else. For some people, it's writing their thesis. For some people, it's like getting through one class or like one requirement that they have to do. But for me, it was literally writing my law school apps. And then after that, I literally just went full Netflix mode. Like I watched all of New Girl, like completely. Like, I watched all seven or eight seasons of that. Like, I finished, like, all of those shows that, like, I hadn't finished yet on Netflix. And, of course, like, you know when you click pause and then it shows you, like, a bunch of series?
Oh, like, what else you can watch?
I saw, like, Bridgerton and then it said coming soon. But it also said, like, this something. So I didn't know, like, when it was coming soon. And then, like, I waited, like, a good 30 minutes for it to get back to Bridgerton again. Mm-hmm. And then it said, like, coming soon this Friday. And I was like, oh, no. Like, this is a problem. Because I'm literally going to devote, like, every single waking moment to finishing this series. And I did. Right.
Yeah. No. I was so excited. Honestly, actually, that's such a lie. I was not excited because I watched, like, the first season of Bridgerton and I loved it. It was so good. But then, like, I obviously found out that every season would be like a different sibling, but I fell in love with like the first
Daphne.
Yeah, like not even, yeah, like that love story, like I fell in love with those.
You said
two
not Daphne specifically.
Yeah, not Daphne specifically, but like I fell in love with that love story and like those two as like the main characters. And so I was like, well, I don't really care about the other like siblings, really.
Characters.
Yeah. And so like when the season actually came out, I didn't watch it, but I have put myself back on TikTok, but I'm actually a lot healthier than I used to be. Like I'm not on it all the time, just like moderately. So I was on TikTok like once it came out and doing my like swipe on For You page, and my entire For You page became like a Bridgerton like mass advertisement of like how amazing it was and how you know, like the South Asian culture was being like so representative of like the South Asian culture. And not just that, but like everyone was obsessed with that like love story. So I was like,
I need to hop back on.
I guess I'll give it a shot. Because I also heard it was like an enemies to lover type of
vibe.
Like story show. Or like love, yeah. Story. So I was like, okay, like I actually want to see like where this goes, because I haven't read any of the books and I probably will never do that.
A funny story, like right after I watched the first season, because I was late to the Bridgerton train. I don't know that when I talked to Bridgerton with you, was it like after you had already watched it or like,
yeah, no, it? What's funny is that I actually never knew you watched Bridgerton until like what, 2 weeks ago, because I was like, oh, I think we were having like a little bit of like a brief, like, you know, call me whatever meeting. And we're like, oh, like, what could we talk about? And then I think like I brought up Bridgerton. I was like, oh, like, have you seen it? And you're like, yeah, like I've seen season one too. And I was like, why have we never discussed it?
Like, but I feel like that's not true. I feel like we have talked about it.
No, we definitely have not talked about like the whole Duke. Like, I know for a fact I have not discussed the show.
Like, I know we haven't discussed it in depth, but like, who watched it first? When did you watch it? Because I feel like
I watched it when it came out.
Oh, well, then you watched it first,
I guess. Yeah.
So then I'm just,
but maybe,
like,
that's why we didn't talk about it, because like you watched it, you said a little bit later.
Yeah, I so watched it like, last year.
Yeah.
In this, like, I watched it like last May, maybe.
I don't even know when it came out. Was it 2 years ago?
I feel like
ago?
It came out in 2020, right?
No, I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Oh, well, I
just know it was on my like top 10 when it came out, and everyone was like just talking about it and raving about it, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll give it a try. And I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, I was really obsessed with it. And I remember like I started like looking on Pinterest and figuring ways to like, I got obsessed with like, every single aspect of it. So I literally like,
yeah,
started reading the books, and I
you
like
did?
Went to the library.
Wow.
Yeah, I like downloaded every single book like PDF version, and I put, yeah, it in my notes. And I was like, I'm going to read every single season. And the Bridgerton, okay, so the Bridgerton first season came out on Christmas. That's a really interesting take. They brought out, yeah, it came out Christmas 2020.
That would make sense, because then we all had time to, like, watch it. Actually, that timeline kind of makes sense, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, so I just bought all the books, and I read like half of the first book, like the Daphne one. Mm-hmm. And it was so good. But you know, like, I can never get back into reading, like, as much as I try. Like, I want to be that person that I used to be. I, like, start reading it, and I'm just like, okay, well, I know the story. And then I stopped reading it. And I also just, like, it's just hard for me to have the attention span to, like, dedicate to reading anymore. So I was like, I'm going to do
it. No, that's so true. I know we're talking about Bridgerton, and, like, we'll get right back to it. But, like, speaking on reading, that is so true. This is frowned upon, I know, but I bought – so there was, like, this fundraiser to, like, buy – it was $1 a book. And, like, these were really, really, like, nice books. Like, some were fiction, some were nonfiction. Some were about,
wait,
like,
$1 a book? Is it the same library?
No, it wasn't the library. It was at my, like, university. Like, okay. Some club was doing, like, some fundraiser. And I was like, okay, like, let me, A, support, but B, like, these books are really nice. But I didn't buy the books to read them. I bought the books for my future home so I can have a nice bookshelf.
Are you serious, girl? I knew you were going to say something aesthetic, but not future home. So are you thinking, like, future home as in, like, when you're settled down in that future home? Or do you mean, like, your next apartment?
I'm talking about my next apartment in a couple months. Yeah. To have a nice little bookshelf, you know, like, start, like, and, like, $1 a book, that never happens. You know what I'm saying? And, like, well,
I was going to say Northfield Audubon's library back home has, like, a constant dollar a book.
Really? Good to know. Yeah, that's why I got the first Bridgerton book. I love that. But yeah, so let's go back to Bridgerton. Sorry.
You were about to say something, though.
I think I was just talking about how, I mean, like, I don't want to say I don't remember too much of the first story, but I will say, like, the second season definitely overshadowed the first season. So, like, before I watched the second season, like, yeah, I was so in love with what I had seen. But now that I've obviously, like, have seen and just digested every single thing that Shonda Rhimes has given us in, like, season two, I couldn't even really, like, discuss with you fairly about how I felt about season one. So, like, let's just dive into season two, babe, because I loved it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, so for those of you who don't know, let me give some context of what Bridgerton is.
Yes, lots.
It is a series that is set in the Regency era, which is, I think, the 1800s. And kind of just follows the life of those in high society, like duchesses, duchesses, viscounts, princes, princesses. Like, it kind of just invites you into, like, that glitzy, glamorous royalty world that, I will just say this because I'm a history nerd and I have to include this. Like, we see, like, their glitzy, glamour-filled lifestyle, and we think that, like, okay, like, this is a period where people are just, like, wealthy and stuff like that. No, these people that are, like, getting married and, like, doing all of this, like, high society stuff and courting and dating, they are, like, the literally 0.25%. And they are supposed to, like, all of these titles that they have, they're supposed to be, like, overseeing and, like, watching all of these, like the peasants underneath them.
Like, there's responsibility behind the title.
Exactly. There's responsibility behind the title. So take with that what you will, but it's pretty much the time of, like, if you think about peasants and royalty, it's that time, and they follow the family, the community of, like, the high society in, like, England at the time, and, like, how they're navigating that. So every single series, they'll focus on, like, specific characters in the story that, like, are also going through this, like, courting marriage period, and figure out how they get married, like, what happens there. And then there's this person named Lady Whistledown who is, like, an anonymous. It's like Gossip Girl. It's literally just a Regency era Gossip Girl. That's it. Yeah. That's the description.
It's Gossip Girl. But, like, it's also the way the series goes is that, like, the reason why it's called Bridgerton is, like, that's a surname. And so, like, they're following, like, the Bridgerton family, like, this high class family that's, right, like, super wealthy. And each season is a different sibling. So, like, the first season was Daphne, which was, like, I think the eldest sister.
Right.
And then, like, this season is Antony. I was going to say Anthony, but it's not Anthony. It's Antony.
Is really?
And, yeah. They don't.
Oh, thank
they don't,
you
they
so much, because I was about to butcher that.
Yeah, I was like, interesting. But yeah.
I literally always thought that they just, like, wanted to sound like, I thought that they were all just making the same mistake.
That's a really interesting take, Shanaza.
No, wait, are you sure it's not Anthony?
It's spelled Anthony, but it's pronounced Antony.
Really?
Yeah.
I really, why did I think that they
that
were
that also making... made me wonder, like, is Anthony actually supposed to just be pronounced Antony, but then, like, everything just got, like, modernized Antoine. And, like, said Anthony? Like, this maybe is such a side note.
Antoine.
I don't know the answer to this question, but is it really Antony or is it Anthony? I don't know. But anyway,
Anthony,
yeah. So
or Antony.
Yeah. So in the show, at least, it's pronounced Antony, and he's the eldest son. And so, like, I guess obviously, well, spoiler alert, like, we're going to be spoiling the show. So, like,
oh,
I just don't listen.
This
to...
whole pod is about the season. So,
yeah, so I
wouldn't
listen
really
this
long. I don't know what you expected. We're talking about the season. So you can,
yeah,
please...
like, we're dishing out on everything. But, yeah,
don't be here.
Yeah.
If you want to watch.
Like, just don't do it. But Viscount Antony is like the eldest son, and their father, like all the siblings' father, he like died. So this, the eldest son is obviously going to take over all of the responsibilities of like making sure the siblings are all well taken care of. And now he like takes over all the estates. So they do play a big emphasis on that, and like on the responsibility, or Antony at least does place a big emphasis on like wanting to get married really for like the purpose of getting married
and
like
securing
having
the
wife.
Bloodline.
Yeah, securing a bloodline and like having someone to take like be a partner rather than like finding a love. But like the Bridgertons, like their whole thing or like their whole spiel is that like is
they're
to
the
find
ones
love.
Who marry for love and
yeah,
happen to be lucky to marry for love with someone who's also rich, because
yeah.
I don't think they've had like it's so funny because it's literally like their whole like spiel with their family is like, oh, we're so like virtuous because like we somehow are able to like marry for love and marry for money, like we don't have to choose. And I'm like, 9 times out of 10, like you're choosing between one or the other, which is why I'm really excited to follow the younger sister. What's her name? Penelope's friend or ex-friend?
Eloise.
I'm really excited to follow Eloise's story because she's the only one who's gonna like break that pattern of marrying for love and money by marrying for only love, because she's actually dipping down classes if she wants
she
to.
She is.
You remember?
I
when
mean,
she
I don't
started...
know. I didn't read the books. I actually
no. It's
know
a part happened. Of the series. Remember the season when Eloise started dipping and talking to that boy?
Oh yeah, I like that. But I heard that she does marry like within like high society, but she finds
Girl,
a guy.
Don't tell me that. Why are you? You're saying we said spoiler for this season. Now you're spoiling the other seasons
but
for me.
First of all, it's not like I'm part of the production team. I don't know what's gonna happen, but this is
no.
What
but
I
like,
heard.
If you heard it, then that means
it's a
the
rumor.
Books.
You're gonna
no,
hear
but
this
like this story. But it's not a rumor because the storyline is already written.
Oh,
I'm
I guess.
Like, I know we're dishing all right now.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. Well, okay, but. Technically, no, because Shonda Rhimes is changing things
sorry.
Up. Yeah,
is it
sorry,
too
but not
late
sorry.
Now
because
to say sorry. That's my song. Cause I
go, finish the
missing more than just your body, and I know that I just let you down. Is that the line?
You really butchered it, but it's fine.
But since you're gonna say sorry now,
yeah, beautiful.
I'm sorry,
Justin Bieber, guys.
Well, you should be sorry, even though you retracted your apology just now.
Okay, but, like, not really, because I think Shonda Rhimes is taking a turn. Okay, so these books, guys, are actually written, like, all the characters are white, rich and white, like, just so you guys know. Because I actually found this out. I know this is, I should have known this, but I guess I was living in bliss and ignorance. But I thought that the author actually took this route to write it like this, but that's not true. Like, the books are actually written, like, all the characters are rich and white, but in the season Shonda Rhimes like diversifies like the cast and like all of that. So season one, the Duke was black. Mm-hmm. Season two, like Sharma, like the what are they come from India,
yeah,
like
the Sharma family.
The Sharma like, family.
Which is Edwina and Kate.
Yeah, Edwina and Kate. They like come from India and like they're South Indian. which South Indians don't get represented like at all, even in Bollywood. So this was like a really big deal for like, I think like everyone in the world, because like even like people in India were like, I think they really had to like see what it like, see the representation that maybe they didn't even want to see, or a lot of people that didn't want to see, like they had to, which I think we need more of that. And also I think like, you know, Americans here also got to see the representation that we really need to see. Like, I was just really proud. I have no words. Like, every time we talk about it, I'm so speechless, because this season was just done so magnificently. I think one thing that I really liked about this season was that there wasn't an emphasis that they were like Indian. I feel like a lot of the times, like production or like when something gets released, that becomes like the main focal point. And it kind of sucks, because I think we're all just trying to have representation but be normal about it. Mm-hmm. I think that's the word I'm looking for, normal. Or like, it just be like what it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be like so discussed that like the main character is a person of color. Like, it should just be normal.
It should just be integrated. Exactly. And not like a, which is why, this is a side tangent, but like in regards to like Justice Ketanji, who just got officially appointed on the Supreme Court, despite
that was awesome.
Congress's heavy pushback on her,
I know,
highly qualified like candidacy to
woman,
her,
yeah,
but whatever. It's because she's a black woman. But if you didn't know, but yeah. What was I gonna say about that? Like, I feel like one thing I wish Biden didn't do was say like before electing her, like, we must elect a black woman, and then elected her. I feel like he could have just like, I know that it was time, and like he's meeting the historical moment, and like also this has just been long overdue, but like to say first like, okay, we need a black woman, and then just be like, okay, now we're looking for black, it makes her feel like it presents it to the public like she's not qualified for a job, and that she
right like
just
the,
looking
she
for
got the job because
justice.
She's a black woman, but it's not that, it's that she is a highly qualified person, A.
Yeah.
And then, like, B, this is her identity. But, like, it's not that she got the job because she's a black woman.
But he so easily made that link.
Yeah.
Like, by saying, we're looking for a black woman. Here are the black female candidates that we're choosing. Or, like, the public was guessing between which candidates he was going to choose of the black candidates of the pool. And I'm just like, that just made it. That I feel like that kind of dims her own moment and dims her shine too a little bit, because I feel like it's like society can connect the dots that this is like a great historical moment. Like, you don't need to paint it out for everyone to improve your own reputation, because who did that benefit? It didn't benefit Ketanji. It was just Biden being like, I'm meeting the moment, like I'm doing what I said I was going to do in presidency. And I feel like that would, like, the only reason why you would do that is to bring glory to yourself, like, as a white man. Like, there's no other reason that you'd have to so clearly, like, be like, oh, I'm just doing this. So, I like relaying this back to Bridgerton. I feel like she does a good job of, like, incorporating those, like, diverse characters or, like, characters of different identities into the, like, fold of the show without making it so glaringly obvious that, like, this is representation. It's like more show don't tell, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It was done so well. Like, there's like a few key moments that everyone talks about. It's not just me, but like even like British tea, like in India, like there's cha or chai, and like she puts like the main thing that's in like masala like tea for like in India is like elaichi or cardamom in English. And like you can see there's like this one scene where like before she pours like the bland tea that she says that she doesn't like, she like puts like a strainer with the tea, and then she puts the tea over the cardamom to give it like a little bit of spice. That's like a small little like representative moment that every brown girl, especially, like we saw that and we were like, yes, like thank you for that. Then there was like another moment where Edwina was about to get married, and there's like the ceremony, like the haldi ceremony, and like they did that like inside, but it was like,
yeah,
so it was like so like just there, but it wasn't like blaringly like, this is the haldi ceremony, this is what you have to do in India, like none of that like happened.
Yeah,
and I was like, perfect. Like for those that get it. And for those that don't, guess what? You can Google it and like, figure out like why that's happening. You know, like the show doesn't have to speak and explain like everything. Like sometimes you just have to like maybe take that extra step if you don't know what's going on.
Exactly. So, yeah. And one part of attaching to what you said, like, I feel like it also normalizes those cultures, because I think that there's a big thing that like America does where they like commercialize off of like cultural identities and make it like exotic and make it foreign and make that like a part of the appeal of the show. And like what Shonda Rhimes does so well is like, she's like, this isn't exotic to the people with this tradition. This is tradition. This is home to them. This is normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is family. Because when you exoticize something, like, you separate it from the norm and you're like, this is different. Like, the Bridgerton family, like, English is the norm and these things are just, like, cultural spins. But it's like, no, this is the norm.
This is the norm for them. Exactly. Yeah. Well said.
So I love that. That's real. That is real inclusivity.
Ugh, I think this was the one show that has done it the best, period. Like, I like have gone back in my years like to try to like pinpoint like another movie or TV show that has done it well, and nothing comes up to it. Even Bollywood movies don't come up to it. Like, that's what's so sad about it. And I think that like, I hope that in like as years go, like even like darker skinned women and men get the ability to have their space, because we've talked about this, guys. Refer to the colorism conversation podcast episode, but we've discussed this, how like even in our own like countries, like we've spoken about it in also in Nigeria and India, like aside from all the many difficulties that are already there for us to fight like in the world, our countries itself segregates itself.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a whole issue between fair and dark skinned and all of that. So I was really happy to see that like represent like that push to have a dark skinned like South Indian
that girl. I really liked, and that made me think of, I think that also, I'm very grateful to have you as a friend, Shivani, because I feel like I'm not obviously on the inside, but I feel like I'm on like the wall, like I'm a wallflower, and I'm like, okay, I understand a lot of this actually.
No, me Shivani's too. Me same. No, I said me
like
same.
I'm like a wallflower. I'm like, yep.
I'm like me same, but like actually, and it goes both ways. Like sometimes, like when there's like, I've told you, like I don't want to say I'm a pro at like. Like,
no, it's like that. No, it's really, that's the only reason why I was able to be like involved in like what South Asian Association has been doing and like make friends in the org, because it's just like my best friend is Indian. So like, not like that, like I'm not saying that to be like, oh, like I'm in your culture now, but as in like I can like be you on understand. The sideline and nod and like understand.
There's
and
a little just be bit there. More of an understanding. And the same goes for me, like especially like in my school, like if there's a little bit of like, you know, like the African Association. African Student Association. Yeah. Like there's moments when I'm like obviously not like a main focal point. Obviously I'm not at the center stage like speaking for anyone, but I'm nodding. I'm like, yeah, like Chinoza has said this to me, or like I hear you because I have a friend that also has like said this and I get it. Mm-hmm. Like you know, I have a party trick, guys, and I know I've said it on this podcast.
Yes, she has.
But I know, like, I don't know what it is, but, like, I'm starting to, like, understand, like, by, like, name or, like, last name especially. Like, I'll, like, understand mostly, like, what tribe people are part of. So I'll be like, oh, like, are you Yoruba?
Like, and they'll be like, oh, yes. How did you even know, like, that there are different,
like tribes? And I'm like, yes, I did it.
You get it. No, I low-key have started doing the same thing. I'm not gonna lie. I definitely took advantage of that iGungu. Like, I was like, because, like, you've given me the background to have some understanding. Like, even
and it feels
in, like,
so good. This is such a side note, but actually, like, a little bit of a, no, I don't want to say it's a rant, but, like, I'm just, like, kind of understanding, like, us, like, laughing and, like, sharing this. I'm just like, what an advantage. Like, what an advantage for us to have, like, the ability to, like, know this, and like it's such an advantage, not like career wise but just like socially, like the ability the fact that like we have this knowledge and like we're not so ignorant to like each other's culture, it just opens up the world to us. And I hope to like obviously like know more about other people's culture, but like, yeah,
culturally aware and culturally open. And it's also like, you know how we talk about like how racism is not just like, oh, someone is racist and someone's not racist or something like that. It's also just like having biases or like ideas of who people are, mm-hmm. because of like where they come from. And I feel like when you have deep relationships with people of a certain identity, it breaks down those walls, and so therefore it quite literally does open the world to those other you to the world. Exactly. In a way, like, you see people for who they are instead of like what you think they represent,
what you think, because of or their what identity. The world is portraying them to be. Well,
exactly. So yeah. It quite literally opens, because it's so hard for us to like let go of like what we see and be like, okay, this is just another person just like me. But like when you have those relationships, it continues to break it down, because you're like, oh, like I know, like I'm aware of this culture, like I know about this, like, and you just realize everybody's the same. Like, that's really the same, like,
yeah, exactly.
That's the theme, but it's hard to actually put that into practice. But going back to Bridgerton,
yeah,
so that
sorry,
was just
guys.
A side tangent. But yeah, I think that like I really, really love that about Bridgerton. And it was just like, I did do some research, some historical deep dive before we actually get into the nitty gritty, because we actually need to talk about some of like the crap that went down. There's a lot that went down.
A lot.
Even in terms of just like, I looked up like, did this actually happen? Were like there ever any like instances of like marriages between like anybody like on the like South Asian like area, and then mm-hmm. just like Britain or maybe Portugal or any like kind of white society region? And there were some in the past, but the characters were a lot more whitewashed, in the sense that like
there was a push
towards like assimilation into like British
absolutely
white culture,
yeah,
in terms of marriage and everything.
This situation that was made up in season two was definitely like fictitious, because I think like you said, whitewash, like it would definitely be whitewashed, because again, Britain colonized India.
Yes.
So, like, the women that even maybe did get the like opportunity to like marry someone of that like stature, like in Britain, they're already probably part of like a society in India that is like already accustomed to a lot of like those traditions and like societal norms compared to like desi norms.
Mm-hmm. No, you're literally saying exactly what I read. Like, that was exactly it. Like, the kind of woman that would like marry into like the English society had already been like primed to be separate from like their desi roots and everything like that. So anyway, going into Bridgerton, Shivani, I would just like to know what you think generally of the enemies to lovers trope in total. Like, was it fair to Edwina that Kate did? Kate was such a badass. I loved her so much. I'm so sorry. Like, she was the best.
Oh, okay. So I think maybe our opinions are gonna change. Like we're gonna have some.
Ooh, we're gonna butt heads. I'm so excited.
Okay, I see where. I think Edwina. Okay, I think a lot of women in general, like not even like desi like women, but just women in general, can relate to like the elder sister, wanting to be like taking care of the family, because the Sharma family, like, they lost their dad, so Kate really took on that role to be like, to make sure that everyone was like set, like that whole point. I feel like her whole narrative the entire season was that I'm taking care of Edwina and my mom and I'll figure it out, and so yeah.
And then I'll become a governess and not
yeah like
married.
She wanted to be like a governess, and so then like I found, as like the season was going, that Edwina was very like that stereotypical younger sister that like didn't see that and just wanted to do what she wanted to do type thing. And I'm not gonna say spoiler, but Chinaza, you already saw this, so like that moment where, you know, everything kind of got exposed and like Edwina kind of like went off on Kate, that like broke my heart. And I actually really dislike Edwina, because like, I understand she's, like, young, but, like, for you to, like, the
disrespect.
Words for her to, like, say, you're my half-sister.
That
oh my
pissed
God.
Me off.
That broke my heart, because that just shows you the level of understanding that she had, which was none. Like, she didn't have an understanding. Again, I am saying that I am being understanding of, like, the thoughts that she had and, like, her perspective. Like, I get it. But, like, if you say you're so grown, then at least try to take a step back and see like where your older sister is coming from and what she was trying to accomplish, rather than you just like going off on your sister. Because like Kate made all the sacrifices to like ensure that Edwina could like marry up wealthy and well and comfortable, you know what I'm saying? So that yeah. really actually upset me. I was not happy with Edwina.
Like, no, and actually, like, it's kind of, I'm torn because like I see where Edwina was, and it's just like, this is a man she was going to marry and she felt betrayed by her sister, understandably right. so.
Right.
I do think though that like the way that she found out, she has to understand that Kate was willing and ready, like they were at the exactly. altar. Like, it's not like she went and up and completely stole her man. Her man was never, like, what pretty much happened is he, like, Anthony pretty much sealed his own fate the second that he went to pick up Kate's bracelet. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't even Kate's fault. She just dropped her bracelet, and then Anthony went and to go pick it up. And then Edwina was like, OMG, like, he's in love with her and not me. And then was like, well, I want a love match, so this isn't going to work. I was like, Kate could have told you that from the very beginning, but you didn't want right. to listen to her. And what I don't understand about Edwina is, like, she said that she, like, Kate literally told her, like, told Edwina, her sister, like, you want a love match? Like, Anthony won't be able to give that to you. You shouldn't do it. And then, like, Edwina processed that and then was like, well, Anthony is an honorable man anyway, so like he's like,
I still want him.
I still want him. And she and Kate was like, cool, but you might not have love. He doesn't want to love, because Anthony the whole entire time was always transparent about the fact that he didn't want a love match. Like, he was
looking for
a wife
to take care of the Bridgerton name.
He just wants a Viscountess. Like, he's like, yeah, a Viscountess who's my wife and who is loyal and faithful, but we won't have love. Probably exactly. not. So, like, I just found it, like, obviously emotions are emotions, and, like, we can't be so logical about it, but also, like, Anthony told you that he couldn't give you love. Kate warned you that he couldn't give you love. And then when you see that Anthony is loving somebody else in that way, that he already told you he can't love you in, why are you mad? You still are on the altar, like, you're still going to marry him. Like, you're still
also, like, Kate
want.
Let go of her love. Like, even though she had feelings for Anthony, she was willing to yet again sacrifice her happiness and, like, allow that to happen. So, to me, it was a hissy fit. Like, she literally just threw a hissy fit because you were still marrying. It's not like even Kate, from what I can recall, they didn't even actually, like, kiss or do anything inappropriate, because
no.
Kate ensured that, like, Anthony and Edwina were going to happen. She
yeah.
like, Kate made sure of it, and so
she did,
like,
everything
she was ready to give up her happiness yet again, and then you have your sister, like, throw that in your face. It really upset me. Like, I really,
you know,
was
that was actually
upset.
A lesson to me, and I was talking to a friend about this yesterday, like, one lesson, because this annoying that this happened like this, but the sad part about this Bridgerton thing is, like, this theme happens all the time in real
yes,
life.
Yes, it's real.
And I think
it's, real,
it's
so
like a
realistic.
Real plot line. It's a real story. And I think what it teaches you is, like, you can only sacrifice for other people for so long, and that still doesn't guarantee the fact that they're going to love you just because you sacrifice a lot for them. So at the end of the day, you should just do you to an extent. Like, not obviously be a selfish person, but, like, someone is always going to be disappointed in you, whether you sacrifice the world for them or not. So to some extent, you still need to, like, look out for yourself and do what's right for you. Because if you constantly are always sacrificing for other people, trying to people please, people will still not be pleased with you. And then you'll have lost their favor and have lost all of your interests in the process. So might as well protect some of your interests, because people aren't going to like you anyway at some point. Like,
exactly.
Don't be a selfish jerk. But, like, I think Kate was, like, sacrificing to the extent that she, to the point that she wasn't even, like, being honest with herself or other people, which dug her into a hole regardless, because she was just trying
hard.
To manage
you
everybody
to admit,
else's
hard.
Feelings.
It's hard because it's, like, your sibling. Like,
yeah.
You're right, but it's, like, if it was, actually, let me not compare you and I, but, like, let me say if it's, like, me and, like, some other friend, and, like, you're, like, I'm making the sacrifices because, like, my friend is into this guy, and, like, I ignore the signs, ignore the passion and the chemistry, and I keep ignoring it, then I'm kind of stupid. Like, I think that, like, what you're saying really applies. But I think that, like, if it's a sibling, like, not to compare, like, I won't talk about your sisters, but like I feel like when it's a sibling, it's so much harder to not sacrifice.
That's true.
It's family. You can't talk about
me and my sisters like I'd sacrifice anything.
Exactly.
So it's just like it's a different situation. Like there's certain lines.
Like that love is like so thick. And like you would do anything for your sister. So like Edwina saying that she's in love with this man that like you barely spent any time with. Like Kate is like, oh, like my sister's in love with the man I'm in love with. But I'm also like, she was also not like a royal blood Kate because like her mom, like the mom wasn't her mom. It was her stepmom. So Kate was really like a nobody. But Edwina had a little bit of royal like wealthy blood, I guess.
Running
so like that was also like a part of it where Kate was like, well, Edwina doing this, like this just continues to open up doors for her. Like it's not like I can like marry someone like this anyway. So right. I don't know. To me, I was just like really disappointed in the sister relationship at the end because like the younger sister really failed to like see how many sacrifices like the eldest sister was making. At the end, Edwina was like, I'm a grown woman. Like, I will make my own decisions. And in my head, I was like, one, you're not. You're not a grown woman. Like, you're 18 or 19. You're a child. Like, your older sister is 26.
Yeah,
26. So it's like, she was just trying to take care of you. And like, oh, actually, now that we're talking about it, I'm just like repeating myself. But I was just actually really upset by that.
It was just annoying because she was like, also like, towards like while she was doing her like thinking or whatever and called Kate into the room, she was like, my whole life you have tried to control everything, you've tried to do all this stuff, like you've taught me how to be this like woman in society and everything like that, you taught me everything I know, like playing piano, riding horses, like knowing all these languages, you taught me everything because you're trying to create the life for me that you never got and I'm sick of it. Like, she did not say thank you. She didn't say thank you for any of it. She said, you didn't do it for me, you did it for you. And I was like, no, she did it for you.
She literally did it for you.
But like the way she processed it, she was like, so I'm finally going to do something for me because you've controlled me like a puppet all my life. It's pretty much like what she was saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, no, you're dumb. The only reason why you even have the freedom to say this stuff right now is because Kate taught you everything that you know. Exactly. Even what it looks like to be an independent woman, Kate taught you that. What it looks like for you to even be in this point in society where you are, none of that would have happened without Kate because your mom was depressed.
Her mom was depressed and would not go back to her parents to like do anything.
Get financial support.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree with you. It was ridiculous. But
I was like, and then Kate is over here just feeling like completely like she messed up not only this situation, but her whole entire, like, you invalidated her in whole entire life's mission, which is to make you happy.
Yeah.
It just made me so sad.
That's what I'm saying. It really broke my heart. Like seeing that, like that end of the episode, I was like, oh, Edwina, like that really pissed me off. I actually didn't like her throughout the season, to be honest with you, because you could see, but I think that was
would think she's fake.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Not genuine.
It was like throughout the season, even like she set her eyes on Antony, in my opinion, not because I think Edwina liked Antony because of the money and the wealth and like the reputation. Even though other guys had it, obviously Antony was like the most eligible bachelor and she wanted the most eligible bachelor. Like to me, that's what I saw. She was a gold digger. Like I think Edwina was the gold digger.
Was trying to play it off as love.
As love. Like that's what I saw and I did not like her from...
I feel like you see deeper than like this sweet like... out of it, because she was always like the sweetest girl in the room and like always pleasant and kind, but she always just said a whole lot of nothing. Like, it's so lovely to be here. Like, okay, like that's fine. But Kate added, like, she was real. Like, she added,
I loved Kate. She was so
like
badass.
Witty and like cool, and she would there like say things as it is.
So much substance in Kate.
And then Edwina would just be like, this is so pleasant that we're out here chatting, but then would not really reading say books. Anything. These books are so nice. And then that is the thing, I feel like I would be curious to know what Edwina is actually like, because I think she does have a second side to her that's very either
manipulative. But I don't really want to know it, you know what I'm saying? Like that can go do its own thing. Like if they want to create like an Edwina show, like fine, but like I don't care about it. Like I'm not really interested in knowing. At the end, they do foreshadow that apparently, like, the queen was gonna introduce, like, the prince to Edwina. So I think she was very happy
about that because she's actually just the gold digger.
Oh, gold digger. Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
That's actually so funny because I'm like, if you're really just in love with this guy, you would not be, like, so readily open.
She wants the reputation, which is so funny because, like, I think she was hurt because... Actually, now the more we're talking about it, the more it's making sense in my head. I think she was, like, obviously hurt because of the betrayal, but she was hurt because she knew that she would never be the Viscountess. Like, she was pissed off that she was not going to get that title, and she's seeing that Kate is, like, the more appropriate, option for this. Like, at least but she had really a little bit of common sense to end the wedding.
Because there's, like, a few episodes in between, like, that wedding fluke and Kate and, like, Anthony ending up with one another. Because after the wedding is called off, it's not even, like, the solution to this is Kate and Anthony get together. It's, like, the solution of this is to make sure, like, pretend like nothing happened and just end the wedding. And I was like, why aren't you, Edwina, pushing for your sister's happiness at least if you're not going to have him? But her mentality was, like, if I can't have him, no one can.
No one can have him. And she would just have these, like, snide comments in those middle episodes. Do you remember that? Like... And then she's like, how did I never see this? Was I that blind? Like, yes, you were that blind because all you wanted was his reputation and money. Like, that's all you were looking at. You weren't seeing the clear chemistry between your sister and Anthony.
Yeah, and it makes me also, like, mad that the only reason why, like, Edwina actually forgave Kate was because Kate almost died. Like, and she was, like, she probably realized how much Kate actually did for her in that span of time. Or at least, like, what her life would look like without Kate in it. Because Kate pretty much pulled the strings for everything, like, made the arrangements, like, did everything, managed everything, and operated as, like, one of her parents. So then when Kate wasn't there, she was like, oh my gosh, and was, like, by the bedside and stuff like that. But what would have happened if Kate didn't almost die? Because I understand why Shonda Rhimes, or, like, I don't know if it was Shonda Rhimes or the books that made it so that, like, Kate had to almost die in order to, like, repair everything and allow Kate and Anthony to be together. But, like, if Kate didn't run away and almost, like, die, would Edwina have ever forgiven Kate? Or would she would have continued doing these snide comments for the rest of her life? Because if she's doing that, then, like, I'm sorry, I can't respect it.
Well, that's a really good point and question. I don't know. I mean, before that whole horse ride scene and her almost dying, like, you know, Anthony and Kate had a really strong, passionate moment in the evening. And, like, if you remember, like, Anthony was like, why can't we care about ourselves finally? Like, for the first time ever. Like, why can't we put ourselves first? And our happiness first. Do you remember that? Like, he was saying that. So I feel like I wonder, like, if that dying scene didn't happen, like, he was chasing her, you know, like, he was wondering, that's like, true. Why she wasn't beside him and stuff.
Huh? But then they would have to run away together versus, like, being able to be publicly
in love. Think honestly, Anthony would have just been the man. Like, why would he have to run away?
This is my wife. I don't care.
Who cares about
Edwina?
Edwina's a child. Like, if Anthony wants Kate, like,
and also, he's also the Viscount. Like, what he says goes.
Exactly.
Like, who cares what a bunch of bickering aunties have to say? If you tell people how it is, they will eventually respect
it.
It
is what
it
is. I think if she wouldn't have almost died, I still think Anthony and Kate would have happened. But I think maybe it might have taken maybe a little bit more warming up Edwina needed. Like, maybe Edwina and Kate wouldn't be close for maybe a couple months or a year or something, and then they would get back together. I don't know. Or maybe Edwina needed to find love, which could be Prince
or someone else, or both,
and then she would let it go, like, all that anger go, because she found someone, like, that she loves or loves money for.
Something like that.
Yeah, like, she has her own person.
Yeah. And maybe we wrap up, I do want to make a comment about the overall concept of Bridgerton and arranged marriage in general, because, like, as you know, like, me and Shivani's culture is, like, Nigerian culture and Indian culture. There is an element often of, like, setting families up together, like, putting people together in a kind of similar way that Bridgerton does it, to be honest. But, like, I think that there's just, like, a Western veil over, like, us, like, the way that we understand, like, courting and how that works like, there's an element of us respecting that culture and, like, seeing it the way it is and, like, buying into the whole entire idea of it. But then when it comes to, like, indigenous cultures and, like, other, like, societies where, like, this takes place, people see it as, like, completely backwards, like, arranged marriage or, like, quote-unquote arranged. And, like, I don't know, like, I guess the question I have for the listeners is, like, do you think or do you perceive the way, like, Bridgerton, like, is conducted, like, their whole culture of marriage, do you see that as an arranged marriage or not? Or, yeah, like, do you see it as, like, consensual? Like, do you see it as, like, because I feel like people don't see it as arranged. They just see it as, like, oh, that's just how people got married back in the day. They got to know people and, like, their family set them up a little bit. And then, like, do you see it as, do you see it as consensual? Like, I feel like, yeah.
I think there's a difference between, like, forced marriage and arranged marriage.
Right.
Let's leave it at that. I don't think everyone agrees with that. It could be a whole other episode too, like, talking about, like, that.
I feel like it's gonna have to be a whole other episode because we're at time. But yeah, I just want to let those questions linger for you guys and help, like, tell you guys to, like, decolonize your mind a little bit. Because I'm just saying that, like, whenever the West does something, they just add some pretty tool and, like, diamonds on it. And then they're like, this is good. And then everybody agrees and buys into it. But then when another culture is doing it on a more cultural, like, communal level, everyone, like, side eyes it. Like, Nigerian culture, like, they do have, like, this fit. Like, I just did a presentation about, like, Igbo traditional marriage for my psychology of close relationships class, like, 2 weeks ago. And, like, I kind of talked through, like, the process of Igbo traditional marriage. And a lot of people in the comments of my presentation, because I did it digitally, were like, wow, like, I just, like, never thought of it that way. Or, like, I never knew it could be such a, like, a process that actually, like, gives dignity and respect to women in different ways that, like, this culture actually doesn't. So it's like, I'm not saying it's perfect, but I'm just saying it's not as backwards as you're saying it is, just because it's not white. So I don't know, decolonize your mind, chew on that a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, and chew on that, think on it, let us know in our on our Instagram comments. Like, we usually do, like, a little bit of a, like, a snippet from our episode, and we would love to, you know, hear your thoughts in the comments. We try to respond, like, back and actually, like, have a little back and forth. So we would love to hear your thoughts on that. But like Chinaza said, this is time for us. So let me just wrap up again. You know our Instagram at Call Me Whenever Podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcast. And also, you guys can now rate us on Spotify. So please do that. You know, we had a little bit, like, we asked our listeners to do that for Apple Podcasts when we started, like, 2 years ago. But now we need a little bit of a push on Spotify. So please, please do that. Leave us reviews. Let us know what you're thinking. And as always,
call us whenever. Bye, guys. Love you.